John chapter 4, verse number 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples pray him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there is yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and one reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. I'd like to bring a message entitled this morning, Regaining Our Vision. Regaining Our Vision. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day of life that you've allowed us to live. Thank you, Father, for your mercy and your grace upon us. I pray now, dear Lord, that you just bless our service today. I pray, Father, you just bless the preaching of the Word of God. Father, anoint me afresh. I pray, dear Lord, that you just help me, dear God, to be able to speak the words, Father, with power and demonstration of the Spirit. I pray, Heavenly Father, that Jesus Christ be glorified. I pray, Father, that he could be honored. Father, we thank you for all things. Now, Lord, bless us, God. If it be one here, God, that don't know you, I pray, Father, this would be the morning, Father, come to know thee as Savior of their life. And Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, and ask you to cast any opposing spirit that might be in our midst out, that the Holy Spirit of God might have liberty and freedom, dear Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Regaining our vision. I want to ask you this morning, if Jesus were to speak directly to Faith Independent Baptist Church this morning, as he did to the 7 churches in Asia, I wonder what he would tell us this morning. I wonder if the Lord could speak to you this morning personally. You were just out somewhere, and you were just out maybe driving down the road, or maybe you were up in the woods, or maybe out in the field somewhere, and the Lord just appeared to you. I wonder what the Lord would say to you. I wonder what the conversation would be about. I wonder if the Lord would look at you, and I wonder if the Lord would say some of the things that he told the churches over there in Asia. I believe a lot of times that in our life, and especially in the church age we're living in, this day and age that we're living in, I believe that the Lord would tell us that we've lost our burden. I believe the Lord would tell us that we've lost our vision. We've lost our commitment. Churches all across America today have lost their burden. They've lost their vision. They've lost their commitment. Never in the time that I've been in the ministry, I've never seen such a decline as the church has taken. But the church has taken a decline, folks. And you can say, well, you can say, well, no, it's not. The church is not taking a climb. Church is getting better. Everything's getting better. This is happening. This is over here. But I'm going to tell you, in all as a package, the church is taking a decline. Never before have I ever seen so many churches closed on Sunday night as in America today. Sunday night service is canceled because there's not enough people comes out on Sunday night. Some churches in America today are canceling services on Wednesday night because there's not enough people coming out at the church. You say, what's the matter? What's wrong, preacher? I'll tell you what's wrong. People have lost the burden. That's what's wrong. People have lost their vision. That's what's wrong. People have lost their commitment to serve God. That's what's wrong. This morning I want us to consider what we need to do to regain our vision. Listen to what He said to the church at Laodicea. He said in Revelation 3 and verse number 18, He said, I counsel thee to buy me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. I'll be honest with you folks, a lot of problems today is people are just not seeing what's going on around them. People today are just blind to the fact that their neighbors and their family is dying and going to the devil's hand. The Lord had spoken earlier to His disciples about the inability to see properly. I believe a lot of problems today is that people just lost their vision. They've lost their vision. John 4:35 says, Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, the Lord says, and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. I want you to notice the setting of the verse. The woman at the well, she's saved. Verses 4 to 26, she has a vision to reach her city. Verse number 28 to 29, you see that vision. And then in verse 39, you see the result of her testimony. And then over there in verses 30 to 31 to 33, you see the disciples. They just couldn't see that. I'm going to be honest with you folks, a lot of things goes on right under our noses. Things are going on in the church that people just don't see no more. Things are going on out in the world that people don't see no more. I'm telling you that we need to understand and to know when God is trying to tell us something. We need to understand and be able to see when God is trying to speak to our hearts, or maybe about some person, or maybe about something. Quit closing your eyes to the fact that God wants to speak to you. Lift up in your eyes and let God show you some things this morning. We as a people need to understand that we have become blind to a lot of things around us. We just want to wink at certain things, wink at certain sins. Listen, I'm not saying that we need to get out up on top of a housetop and preach against the liquor and all the dope and all that stuff. I'm not saying that, but we need to open our eyes and see when God says, stay away from that stuff. It's in the Scripture. Listen, if it's harming our body, and if you're doing it out of pleasure, it is a sin against God. God said, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink. Stay away from that stuff. Wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You get out in the grocery stores and you see the wine bottles, that's laced the shelves, and everybody just glorifies that stuff. They're taking it home, they're having a good time, they're drinking. God says that stuff is a mocker, and it is a shame, and woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink. We don't need to glorify sin. Put sin where it is. The world wants to call it alcoholism. God calls it drunkenness. The world wants to call it a lifestyle. God calls it an abomination. Call it for what it is. Chemical dependence is just a dope head. Call it for what it is. A lady of the night, God calls her a whore. Call it for what it is. Somebody said, oh, I don't like to hear those words. You see what I'm saying? That the world has got you blinded. And God, hey, listen, if Jesus Christ Himself stood up here and preached a sermon to you this morning, you'd everyone be under the pews. You'd be crying and trying to get out the door because Jesus Christ shoots it straight. And He lets the rubber meet the road, folks. I believe it's high time as we preachers and pastors stood up and took a stand against sin and call it what it is. The only way we're ever going to get our church back is we're going to take it back. The only way we're ever going to get our children back is we're going to have to take them back. The only way we're ever going to get our homes back is we're going to have to take them back. Hey, listen, they're not going to gladly come back. They're not just going to just say everything's all right. We're going to have to take them back. Take them back by force and by the Word of God. How can we regain our vision? First of all, I believe we need to stop making excuses. Stop making excuses for getting involved in the work. Say not ye there are yet 4 months. The Lord says here they were just making excuses. And cometh the harvest. Excuses. To make excuses is to explain away at a fault or offense in the hope of making forgiven and or understood. To seek to remove from blame. To free from obligation or duty. To make an exemption. Common excuses are procrastination. It was found over there in Luke chapter 9 and verse 57 and 62. When the Lord told him, he said, if you want to serve me, you want to follow me, he said, come and follow me. What did they say? They said, well, let us go and bury our dead. And we want to serve you, God, but we want to go and we want to bury the dead. Jesus Christ said, let the dead bury their dead. Come follow me. We just want to wait. We want to procrastinate. Well, I'm going to serve the Lord when? I'm going to serve the Lord when? I'm going to live for God when? When I do this, when I do that, when the Lord does this, when the Lord shows me this. Listen, the Lord don't have to show you to serve. Amen. You know what we need today? More servants. Amen. We need people today serving tables. Amen. We need some more people today that are willing to serve a table. Common excuses of procrastination. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 says, At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray, God, that I may not be laid to their charge. God needs some people that will stand with Him. Who's going to stand with the Lord this morning? Who's going to stand with Him? Who's going to raise hands up, lifted hands up and say, I'll serve you, God. I'll live for you. The problem today is people don't want to pay that little small price. Serving God comes with a price. Then I want to say that people make excuses today because of earthly values. Earthly values. I'm going to be honest with you, folks. Everything that you've ever worked in your life for is worth nothing when you die. When you leave this world and you close your eyes in death, it's all everything that you've worked your life for is history. What a person needs to do is work down here and try to make a living and try to do the best he can. It's all right if you have things. There's nothing wrong with that. I love to have things. I love to be able to try to have and to better my life and to better my family's life. There's not anything wrong with it. I'm not preaching against that. But I'm just saying this. We need to work for some heavenly gifts. We need to work for some spiritual gifts. We need to lay some treasures up in heaven because that's where we'll spend eternity at if you're saved and bought with the blood of Jesus. That's where you'll end up. Earthly values. In Luke 14, 18 to 20, he said over there in verse 18, I have something else to do. Verse 19, I have something else to do. In verse 20, I have something else to do. I have something else to do. Something else to see, he said in verse 18. I need to go and say goodbye to my family. And he said, I've got to go and check on a field that I just got through buying. And one fellow says, well, I married a wife. We'll never see what God wants us to see as long as we make excuses. Many people miss the will of God for their life because of lack of faith, lack of knowledge, and a lack of submission. Then I want to say, second of all, we need to open our ears and hear the Savior. We need to open our eyes and see the Savior, but we need to open our ears and hear the Savior. Behold, I say unto you, he says. Before we can look on the fields, we must learn to listen to Jesus. Before you can ever see what God wants you to do, you must be able to hear what He wants you to do. The reason that we can't hear sometimes what God wants us to do is because that we're just bombarded by the things that we want to do and the things that we want to listen to. It's all about us. I'm sorry, friend, but it's not all about you. You were created for fellowship with God. That's why you were created. Someone said, why did God make man? To have somebody to fellowship with. That's why He made man. And I said, oh, I don't believe that. I believe He made man to worship Him. God can make the rocks worship Him if He wanted to. God was receiving worship and glory. The angels and the cherubims and the seraphims worshiped Him day and night, 24 hours a day, all throughout eternity they worshiped God. He didn't need anybody to worship Him. He wanted somebody to talk to. He wanted somebody to fellowship with. You need somebody to fellowship with. You know what solved a lot of your problems, folks, is if you had somebody to talk to. Just have somebody to talk. Just have a friend to talk to. You know, God knew that. God created Adam. He created Adam to have fellowship with Him. The only way that we're ever going to see what God wants us to do is we're going to have to let God talk to us. We're going to have to talk to Him. It's just not going to be walking out one of these days and bam, like a bolt of lightning hit us over the head, and God just opens everything up and says, "There it is, there's what I want you to do." That's not the way God is. God wants to fellowship. He wants to talk to us. He wants you to talk to Him. Everyone needs to be saved. John 3:3 says, Jesus answered and said to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Everybody needs to be saved. Jesus is the only way of salvation, church. We should never lose our vision of that. We should never lose the vision that folks around us are dying and going to hell. People in Letcher County are dying and going to hell. In Coxon, they're dying and going to hell. In Kentucky, they're dying and going to hell. In the country, they're dying and going to hell. Outside our nation, people are dying and slipping off into hell. It should not only be a church that has a vision locally, but a church that has a vision worldwide. That's why I support missionaries. Our work doesn't stop here. It's selfish of a church not to support missionaries. Amen. Every church needs to support mission work. We need to support missionaries. I'd support 100 missionaries if we could. We need to open our ears to hear the Savior. Jesus is the way of salvation. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not in by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Not going to get into heaven any other way. Not going to talk your way in. Not going to buy your way in. Not going to convince God of anything. Before we can look on the fields, we must learn to listen. Jesus said everyone needs to be saved. Jesus is the only way of salvation. And He also said to be a disciple, we must yield our rights. John 13:16 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that sent greater than he that sent him." So why is so many have failed to hear the Great Commission? Why has so many people failed to hear that Great Commission? We listen to everything. We listen to everyone but the Lord. There's a famous governor that everybody probably has heard of. His name's Jesse Ventura. He was a professional wrestler and got into politics and got elected to be governor. He made a statement. He said that organized religion teaches people, in other words, the church, teaches people to stick their noses in other people's business. I want God to stick His nose in my business. I want God to stick His nose in my business and let me know when I'm wrong and when I'm right. The problem today with a lot of people today is they need somebody to tell them what's wrong and what's right. The church has lost its vision. He, as well as others, would say, leave the world alone. Just let them all go to hell. You say, what's wrong? No vision. Listen to Jesus. Mark 16:15, He said unto them, "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature." Go in all the world. And then I want to say, last of all, we need to get the right perspective. Lift up your eyes. The disciples were looking in the wrong place. Where are you looking for help at this moment? Are you looking for help in a job? Are you looking Do you actually think that getting the right job and landing the right career in your life is going to help you? Do you actually think that? Well, maybe if I could just meet the right person. Maybe if I could just meet the right man or the right woman, everything would be okay. The disciples were looking in the wrong place. Let me say, before we can see what the Lord sees, we must adjust our perspectives. First of all, we must lift up our eyes. What do we see when we look at the world? Think with me for a few moments. When you look at the world, what do you see? When you go out to, say for instance, you go over to Whitesburg, or you go to Lexington, or Louisville, or some of the bigger cities out there, maybe New York or Chicago or somewhere, and you look at, and you're in there, and you're looking around, what is it that you're looking for? What do you see when you look around? I remember the first time I ever went to New York. It was pouring the rain, I believe, and I was just looking up at all those big buildings that reached the sky. But then, the longer I was there, and I got to looking out, and I don't know if you folks ever, if this ever happens to you or not, and you look out and you see all those people, hundreds of thousands of people on the street. And I thought, I wonder how many of them people is going to heaven. I had a different perspective. When you get a perspective like that, you'll have a different perspective no matter where you go in this world. Even if it's over here in Whitesburg or over in the next county over, wherever you're at, you'll still have a different perspective if you look at people that way. Are we just moved emotionally by the faces of little children? Or can we grasp the reality of millions of souls in hell because we didn't reach them with the gospel? Lamentations chapter 3, verse number 51 says, "Mine eyes afflicteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city." Isaiah couldn't see himself or the need clearly until he saw the Lord. Why? Isaiah was always worried about King Uzziah. Until he got his eyes off of King Uzziah. And King Uzziah died. When he died, he lifted up his eyes and he saw the King of Kings. He saw the Lord. Like Isaiah, we need to look again and see the character of God. We need to get our eyes off of everything around us. Get your eyes off of your problems. Get your eyes off of the things at work. Get your eyes off of the things at home. Get your eyes off of everything and look to the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to see? Show me something, God, that I'm not seeing or that I've not seen in a long time. Show it to me. When we look on TV and we see a child begging for food on the news, do we say, oh, I wish I could give that little child some food? Or do we say, I'd like to be able to help that little soul into heaven? You see what I mean about God opening our eyes? I'm telling you, we can really be blinded by the world if we're not careful. With a renewed vision of God, we can gain a renewed vision of this world. Only then will we be willing to say, "Hear my Lord."